Let's just close our eyes. Father, we just thank you for this time. Father, we think we are a family, and God has sewn us together for a reason. And I'm going to just speak on a few things, and I'm going to highlight a few things. And the word says in 2 Timothy that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for rebuking, for correcting, and for teaching in righteousness. Which means when we come up here, there's sometimes we bring truth and we bring doctrine. And we say what the word is. But there's time where we rebuke. There's times where fathers have to come into the family and speak to their children and say some things aren't right and it needs to be corrected. Sometimes we correct. We say you're walking on this wrong path and you need to walk into this path. And then we train each other up in righteousness. That's what we do because it's good for us and it comes from God. And I think we've been ministering on a season, and I wasn't here last week, but I heard the message and thought it takes good notes, and I went through the notes, and it was about due season. It was about seasons that change and that we go into. And we're going into a season as a body. And it's a very important season. And what the Lord does is he's not going to give us just a general message, a message that anyone can hear. He sometimes gives us a particular message for this family, for Seaway, so that we can grow and we can make a difference. And I believe the message that the Lord laid on my heart is a message for us, for this family. It also extends into the broader family and into the church in general, but it is for us. It's something that's going to help us get along. You see, I've been sown into this family because you are good for me, and I trust I'm good for you. We are good for each other. And it's not by chance that we're sitting here. It's because God ordained it. He is God. And I think we need to start dwelling a little bit in the kingdom. We need to start dwelling a little bit in the spiritual realm. You know, it said, Smith Wigglesworth, he says he didn't pray from earth, he prayed from heaven. He dwelt in heaven. His heart was in heaven. His mind was in heaven. And sometimes we say certain things. We say it's good to go to church. It's good to go to meetings, but we don't really believe it. And I think it's time in this season we start moving and shifting our focus into spiritual things, that we start believing what God has said is actually true. And if God said it, I will walk in it. And Karen, I was just thinking, you got a word from Ivan about the chains. And he's prophesied and he's prayed over you that those chains are broken. Now, we either believe it and accept it, or like an animal that's been chained to a post for years and years, when you break that chain, they still stay by the post. They don't actually believe that chains have broken. We need to say that's broken, and we need to step out and walk away from that post that has bound us for so long. So that is for you, but it's for everyone else here. When God speaks something over us, we seem to just remain in that. And God has freed us, but like an animal that has been chained for so long, it thinks the chain is still there. Meantime, the chain is gone. They're free to walk into the freedom and liberty that God has given them. Let's be that people. I'm going to encourage us today, because I know the leaders, the elders, and Mark want us to be the best that we can be. So you see, we're going to make sure of that. And sometimes certain things have to happen. I think if we love each other, we won't leave each other as we are. I think we should start challenging each other. I think we need to start encouraging each other. And my message is about staying the course. Staying the course of what God has promised you in your life. And how do we do it? And let's do it with excellence. Let's do it because God said, and you know what? We sang a wonderful song there. It was when something like, let the Holy Spirit come and burn away everything in me that is not of you. And take away anything that is not of me, take it away. Do we really mean it? You sang it. Let's mean it. Let's do it. Let's be a family of excellence. Let's be a family where God can move and we can be encouraged and we can be a light. Because we've asked for it, but now we need to do it. And we need to act on it. And I'm going to bring a message which I believe is going to help us get to the place where we ought to be. I just quickly want to read a word that came from the Lord to us last week. And again, I encourage you, read the prophetic words. Judge them. Okay? One of the things that we are doing and one of the things that I want to get us excited about is we're looking forward to a kingdom. The kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching a kingdom that we should be looking forward to. Do you think of the kingdom, or are you thinking of the earth? Are you thinking of your work? Are you thinking of your workplace? Are you thinking of your area? Or are you thinking of the kingdom? Are you dwelling in the kingdom? Are you preparing yourself for the kingdom? Because this is what it's all about. That's why Jesus came and set us free, so that we can have the liberty and prepare ourselves for the kingdom that he's bringing. The kingdom is not here. The kingdom is something that he's bringing and something that he's going. Yes, the kingdom dwells in our heart because our hearts and our minds are in the kingdom. But Jesus is bringing a kingdom, and we're going to be living and dwelling in him in a kingdom. And we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. And the Greek word is actually judging. We're going to be judges. We're going to be judging angels, the word says. Don't know the fullness of it, but we will be judging angels. We will be judging. So if we're ruling and reigning, we're going to be in places of authority and judging. Okay? So we ought to learn how to judge our own lives. We need to learn how to judge good from evil, right from wrong, what is of God and what is not of God, because that's what we are preparing ourselves for. God is the ultimate judge. He's going to come and judge the world and every single person. And he's preparing us to be able to do the same. So let's start focusing ourselves, getting ourselves right so that we can judge rightly. People's lives, the world, things that God wants to give us authority over. So this is the prophetic word that came from the Lord to us. And while I went on to judge, I said we should be judging the prophetic words. We have the power, if somebody speaks into your life, to judge if it's correct or not. Amen? Yes. Ooh, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? It's good to go to prophetic people and ask prophetic people and say, what do you think? But you will get the answer. You judge the prophetic words, and I've been listening to the words that are coming. I read every prophetic word. I really love them. And I pray them over myself. If I believe it's correct and from the Lord, I receive it. If I believe it's not, I put it one side. Because if the Holy Spirit's in me, I can judge. In a vision, I saw a large room being cleared of furniture and equipment that was no longer relevant to the new working environment. Me and you, God is speaking to us. What is in our lives that needs to be cleared that is not relevant to what the Lord wants to take us into? Fixtures and dust collectors. Fixtures and dust collectors. Some of us are collecting dust. Some of the gifts that God has given us are collecting dust. And I tell you, we need to change that because we are the children of God. He's removing the holes in the walls. They've been filled and sanded, ready for a fresh coat of paint, and God has a message for us. Do you expect it? Do you want it? Because if you receive it, God's going to move us into this place, and we as a family are going to move into this. We're going to make sure of it. I am doing a new thing, promises the Lord, to me and you. I don't know, this is exciting. You can bring me something on TV, you can bring me a good show, you can bring me a book, but this excites me because this is real. And either we receive this or we don't. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and so it is with the Spirit. He's blowing afresh and desires a new wineskin to contain the fresh wine that is being poured out. What this is to me is the Lord wants to prepare something in us so that we can receive the new wine, because if we're not prepared, we can't receive this new wine. And I'm going to touch on what I believe this new season is and what we need to be prepared for and what this wine is that he wants to fill in, because we have the understanding. God says we can understand. The Holy Spirit shows us things that aren't to come. If you're not reading these things, you're going to be left behind. We need to keep up with what the Holy Spirit is saying. I'm clearing the threshing floor of the old chaff. Burn away in me, Lord, what is not of you. Do you want it? Not. We want it. If you don't want it, we're going to make sure you want it because you're part of this family. We've got the responsibility to do it. To make a way for the new thing I am doing. Renew your hearts and minds. Renew your hearts and minds. Liberty and freedom has been birthed in the body in those who are pure in heart. There's a key. Pure in heart. What's the new season? God's bringing a righteous people, a holiness. In the old, there was many miracles, and we love miracles. His healings, he'll still do that, but he's wanting purity and righteousness of heart. That is what God's doing, and that's what we're preparing for. Who will see me and understand the times. Religious systems are not relevant and must go. We so sit on religious things. We get caught up in these religious things. What is this? What is that? How should we do that? We need to let them go. We need to move with the Holy Spirit. He'll show us. As I have birthed a new move of my spirit through praise and worship, healing will take place during worship and while the word is preached. You believe it? Because as the word is being preached and as we have praise and worship, you will receive healing. You just need to open yourself to it. Open that door. Expect it. Put your mind in the kingdom that is coming, the kingdom that has been promised to us. I shall manifest myself in signs and wonders, and you will sense the wind of my spirit as I cleanse and anoint. So, I know I'm going to have to move a little bit, but there's a lot I want to cover, and I really want to just plant something that I just feel is so relevant. In Acts 8:12, it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. There's a kingdom. There's a kingdom that's coming, and a kingdom that we need to look forward to. And thank you, Jesus Christ, who's the center of all of that and has done it all for us, but he's promised us a kingdom, and he preached this kingdom. And I want to start getting excited for the kingdom that is coming. Start getting prepared for the kingdom that we're going to enter into. James 2:5 says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? You and I are heirs of a spiritual kingdom that is not going to pass away, where God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything you see and everything we can't see, dwells. Where Jesus Christ, who came, who died for our sins, who loves us, who was buried and resurrected and gave us the power of his Holy Spirit dwelling in us, is going to be there. We're going to see him. A kingdom is coming. He's preparing a kingdom. Have we lined ourselves up to this kingdom, or have we forgotten about this kingdom that is so important? Our whole lives are geared up to enter this kingdom and to be prepared for this kingdom. Are you preparing yourself? Are you getting ready? Do you know what to do? What could be more important? So, we all believe in what I've just said, isn't it? I mean, we believe it. We believe in Father. We believe he's God. We believe he created all things. We believe he's great. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he's our Lord and Savior. We believe he's our benchmark. We believe he's so much more than that. He's our King. He's our friend. He loves us. He died for us. He's prepared the way for us. We believe in the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. He comforts us. He empowers us. He leads us. He guides us. He indwells us. We believe that. And we believe about the kingdom. We believe that it's imperishable. It's perfect. It's coming. Christ is going to bring us. He's preparing it for us. And we're going to enter it. Because Colossians 1:12 says to 14, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, thanks to the Father who has qualified us through Jesus Christ to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. So we've got it all. We've got it in Jesus Christ. He's paid that price. He's given us this entry. So what could go wrong? What could go wrong? You know, I sometimes think, we've heard this message. How many times have you heard this message? How many times have you heard this Bible? Probably most of us have read through this Bible many times. We've heard the preachings. We've heard about the Father. We've heard about the Son. We've heard about the Holy Spirit. We've heard about resurrection. We've heard about the kingdom. Haven't we? We've heard about it. So what more do you want to hear? So I asked the Lord, what do I need to bring? You know, so often I sometimes think when you want to bring a word to someone, you say, well, what do they need to hear? They've heard it all. You've heard the scriptures. You've read through the Bible. So why aren't we walking in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit? What's going wrong? I'm going to tell you something that's missing and something that God wants to introduce into our lives and into our midst that's going to change that. I trust. Because we've heard it. I don't need to preach this word anymore. We need to hear something that's going to change us and stir us up to move into what the scriptures actually say. Not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I read this article the other days. A lot of us come to church, like the old days, they had critics, you know, critics that review food and films. A lot of us are like that. We come to the church as actually critics to critique the message instead of actually doing something about it. Instead of taking it and putting it in your hearts, they critique it and say, we don't get a good word there. And you know what? We go off and we find something else, something more exciting, something that's going to stir us up. So let's stop being critiques of the word. Let's start hearing what the God says and let's be doers of the word. So what could go wrong? What do we need to reap the fruits of this season lest we miss the train? Ivan said he had a vision the other day. He says he had this vision of this train and he saw the conductor and he was blowing the whistle and he had this hat. And that train was at the station and the steam was going. I don't know if you've been to the market here. They got that little steam train there and you see the steam coming out. And then he heard the one piston go. Kuchu. Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is moving. And you need to get ready to get on. Otherwise, you're going to miss the train. So I want to line our lives up maybe a little bit with Solomon, King Solomon. I'm going to go through the life of King Solomon and just think about your own life. Does it maybe look a little bit like this? Because something went wrong in King Solomon's life and he actually missed the train at the end of his life. But we'll go through it. So, who was King Solomon? We know he was David's son. A son of his, David's, had him with Bathsheba. So Solomon's father was David, his mother was Bathsheba. He had a name of significance. Solomon means peace. We all got a name of significance. We called Christians. God gave him peace over his enemies and the surrounding land. Amazing. God's promised us peace and victory over our surrounding lands. He was anointed over his opposition. We know his brother Adonijah tried to usurp authority. When David was in his dying bed, we know that God had anointed Solomon to be king, but Adonijah tried to become king. And he led off a whole group of people, and he tried to claim the kingdom until the prophet Nathan came to David and brought it to David's attention and said, God has anointed Solomon to be king. So God gave him victory. Adonijah came and apologized to Solomon. Solomon blessed him and sent him home. He gave him victory because he was anointed. You and I are anointed over our oppressors, those who are trying to rob the kingdom from us. It's been given to us. Rise up and take it. It's rightfully yours. Solomon showed mercy over Adonijah. Adonijah repented, Solomon forgave him, and sent him home. He did say to them, though, if you rise up against me again, I'll kill you. So he forcefully said, but don't come against me again. And I think that's sometimes what we need to do against the enemy. When the enemy comes against us, there's times we say, right, but don't do it again. And I'll come to something else. He received instructions. Solomon received instructions as we receive instructions. Solomon, just like me and you. David said to him, you must observe all the requirements of the law that the Lord has given you, follow his ways and his decrees, commands and regulations, and you will be successful in all you do. So David gave Solomon rules and regulations, just like we get from this pulpit and from teachings and on Wednesday nights and wherever, we get instructions. But what went wrong? He purged his kingdom of corrupt leaders. He brought godly order. So he got rid of anyone that was coming against him. So don't worry, in this family, if God removes some people that try and come against this kingdom that he's building here. Okay, the kingdom is in heaven, but he's building a family and he's building his body. And sometimes there's leaders or there's people that come against us that sometimes we got to get rid of. There's sometimes family, there's sometimes friends that we must stop associating with because they're going to come and try and take away what God's doing in your life. So Solomon had that, but still something went wrong. It says Solomon loved the Lord. You and I, we love the Lord. He loved the Lord. But what went wrong? We love the Lord. We've got to make sure that nothing goes wrong. Solomon was given an understanding heart, wisdom. He went to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him, and the Lord said, ask me for anything. Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for an understanding heart because he had the right motive. He said, so that I can govern your people well. Give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people well. And God was pleased with him, and he gave him what he asked for. We ask for wisdom. We ask for knowledge. We ask for the things we need. And we need to continue to do that. He organized his kingdom. It was greater than King David's kingdom. There was peace and safety in the land. So King Solomon organized his kingdom. He got it right. We need to be organizing our lives. We need to be getting it right. But still something went wrong. His fame became known worldwide. He was wiser than anyone else. And by the way, I'm reading from 1 Kings. If you want to go read it after, it's 1 Kings 1 onwards, the life of Solomon. He was wiser than any man that anyone knew. God gave him fame. His fame went out. God gives us authority. He rises us up. He gives us influence if we follow after him. But there's the caution that's going to come. He built God's temple. We know that there was blood on David's hands. David was at war all the time, and he never conquered and had victory over all his enemies. So because there was no peace, he couldn't build the temple of God. So God says, I'll give it to Solomon to build because I'm going to give him peace. And that's another whole teaching, is when we're building the temple of God, we've got to make sure we're in a place of peace and rest, that we got victory. There'll be times when we go out and claim our victory. But I think if we're always in war and warfare, it's going to be very bold, difficult to build the temple of God. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit now dwells in us. The Holy Spirit used to dwell in the temple, and they used to go to the temple to find the presence of God. We are now the temple of God. But we need peace and we need rest to build that temple. It's times to war, it's times to establish it and proclaim the victory that Jesus has given us, but we don't need to go to war like David did, never get victory. Solomon dedicates his temple. He consecrates it, he separates it like we do. We dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We separate ourselves. We consecrate ourselves so that he can sanctify us. He placed the Ark in the Covenant and he put it back in the temple. It used to dwell in a tent in Mount Zion, which was David's kingdom. But Solomon extended his kingdom and it went over Mount Moriah, and he built the temple on Mount Moriah, just opposite the Mount of Olives. If you look over Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, that was David's kingdom. Solomon's kingdom extended. So he built this magnificent temple and he brought the Ark of the Covenant from Mount Zion, where it was with David, and he put it into the temple. He placed the ark in the temple. What a mighty man Solomon was. What a man who did God's work, who pleased God, who was anointed, who had so much influence. He was a king. He had wisdom. He had power. He had everything at his disposal. God gave him everything, just like you and me. But after all of this, Solomon started to turn. What went wrong? He had it all. And he started to turn away from God. You see, whilst he's building the temple of God, he starts to build himself a palace. So he's building the temple of God, but he now starts focusing on the palace. He's building for God, but he starts building for himself. He did everything for the Lord. God gave him everything, and he started using the things that God gave him for himself. Hey, that's fine. He built a palace. The thing is, it took 7 years to build God's temple, and it took him 13 years to build his own palace. Where was his priorities? Where was his focus? His palace was getting greater and bigger than the temple of God. So after 7 years, he dedicated this temple, but he spent almost double the time on his own palace. Not only that, he built himself this throne, this wonderful throne, with six great steps, with huge armrests, with figures of lions. And then what does he do? He coats it with gold. Starting to imitate the temple, isn't it? Starting to take what God told him to build the temple and started bringing it into his own palace. His eyes started to drift from the temple onto his own palace. What does the Lord do? What does the Lord do? Because it happens to us. Sometimes we're building God's temple, but at the same time, we're building our own palaces. So the Lord appears to Solomon to do what? To encourage him, to strengthen him, and to reaffirm him. What do we need constantly? Encouragement. We need to be strengthened, and we need to be reaffirmed. And I asked the Lord, what more can we hear? How many more messages do we need to hear? How many times do we need to hear Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? And we do need to hear it, and we need to repeat it. But one thing we need to do is we need to take that word and encourage each other and strengthen each other and reaffirm each other. That's why we get up here. That's why we come together. Not because we know the word, because we need strengthening. We need encouraging. And we need reaffirming. We need each other. Franco said it in the prayer group. So many things happened this morning that just confirmed this word. Mark Elliott, he said, you know what? Sometimes as a church, we don't understand how much we need the leaders, how much we need to rely on the elders, on the pastors. You see, because God has ordained that to encourage, to strengthen, and to reaffirm, lest we start building our own palaces. So what do we do? What do we do when we get up here? Why do we come to meetings? Sometimes I'm sure some of us sit at home and say, why should I go to church today? Why should I go to a Wednesday meeting? Why do I need to do whatever? Well, I tell you, lest you take your eyes off the Lord and you forsake the gathering of the saints and you neglect the encouragement, strengthening, and reaffirming that comes through the body. So the Lord appears to him and gave him what he needed. The Lord appeared to Solomon in 1 Kings 9, verse 2 to 9. He came to Solomon the second time, and he had appeared to him in Gibeon. Some of us say, where are you, Lord? Why are you not here? This was only the second time he came to Solomon. Yeah? He came to Solomon once, and then after that, he followed after his commandments. He had people, he had priests, he had people around him that affirmed him, that told him, this is what you need to do. Lord, where are you? God's in our midst, in you and me. with each other. Where is Christ? He's in the body here, me and you together. And what I'm going to introduce today, what we need is we need more fellowship and we need more accountability into each other's lives. And that's what I'm going to get at, because that's what was missing in Solomon's life. He appeared to him in Gibeon, and the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayers and your supplications that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put in my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, if you do according to all, he didn't say some, he said, all that I have commanded you. And if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. As I promised David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from me, from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, which we've heard so many times, but go and serve other gods and worship them. And that's what God wants us to do, is to get rid of the idols and the gods in our lives so that we have one God. And we're going to touch on that, the altars in our lives which we have maybe built up. Why is this happening, Lord? Why am I going through this? What is this happening? Because God is prying our hands loose of the altars that are not of Him that we put in our lives. Then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God. You see, sometimes we think, but I haven't left you, Lord. Yes, if you're not obeying every single statute, the commandment that God has placed, we are forsaking Him. If there's anything in our life, we're either denying Christ or we're denying that thing. We've got to deny that thing, because when we're not denying anything, it means we're denying Christ, who brought the fathers out of the land of Egypt and have embraced other gods. I think a good study will be, what is the modern day gods? Go and have a look up. If you're going to take this serious, go look up in your own life, what are some of the modern day gods that we worship? They've embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. God wants all of us. All of us. He's a jealous God. We may not serve any other god. We may not worship at any other idol. We may not go to any other altar except that of God, that of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Trials, tribulations, suffering, perfecting us so that we can let go of our idols, of our altars, and worship God. The Queen of Sheba visits. She's impressed with him, and I'm going to now move on. Solomon starts getting a big head. He starts enjoying all this attention he's getting. And with all his wisdom, it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Amorites, from the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry. You see, he started to become rebellious. It was brought to you the other day. What is the opposite of obedience? It's not disobedience, it's rebellion. When you're not being obedient, you are rebellious. You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after other gods. Solomon clung to these in love. What are you clinging to that you're loving so much that he's turning you away from God? And he had, yes, 700 wives and 300 concubines. But you see, these wives represented the idols and the altars in our lives. You see, I've got one wife, but I may be clinging on to other altars and to other things that are leading me into their ways, which are not of God's ways. It doesn't have to be human, it can be things. It can be the love of money, it can be the love of your work, etc., etc. Maybe we'll touch on a few other things. And he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. His heart was not loyal completely to his God. For Solomon went after all his other gods and all his other goddesses. Solomon did the evil, it says in verse 6, 1 Kings 11, verse 1 to 11, in verse 6, it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord. Doesn't say he did not follow the Lord in some ways, because he did. It said he did not fully follow the Lord. We need to fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. You see, David followed the Lord fully. And a wonderful lesson is David sinned. He lusted over Bathsheba. And he sent, you know, her husband into war and had him killed. But he repented. He repented and he turned to the Lord and he asked for forgiveness and he turned away from that idol, from that lust, and he followed after the Lord. And he died following the Lord. And then I'm going to move to verse 9. It says, so the Lord became angry with Solomon. The Lord got angry with Solomon. Yes, God gets angry with us. Yes, when we build up idols, when we run off to other things and other images, God gets angry for us. But he gets angry for us because he wants us to return back to him. He doesn't get angry and forsake us and push us away. He gets angry, so he brings trials and tribulations so that we can wake up and let go of those gods and return back to him. Trials and tribulations, they perfect us. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, even though he was the Son of God. So they turned him away from the Lord, commanding these things. And then I'm going to just move on. God raises adversaries against Solomon, and Solomon dies, separated from the Lord. So he had all his things, all the commandments, brought up in David's house, knew all his things, and he fell away. Lest any one of us fall away, we need to learn from Solomon's life. So how are you doing? We've even got a better covenant. We've got Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit. Yet still some of us are not fulfilling our call. We're a bit like Solomon. You see, we've got all these things. Thank you, Lord. You've given me all these things. You've received me all these things. I've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. You've given me life. You've transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, filled with light. You've given me all things. You've bestowed upon me all things. Yet we stumble and we fall and we don't come into... Why? Altars, kingdoms, gods that we are putting in place of God. We're not fully, fully serving him. So what I'm saying the Lord wants to do amongst us is we need to start to become accountable to each other. And this is the message of staying the course. You see, Solomon had no one to keep him accountable. It was him and his God, and he had all this power, and there was no one around him to serve him and to help him and to correct him and to rebuke him and to teach him and to train him in righteousness. We have each other. And maybe it's time that our love for each other speaks into each other's hearts and we start challenging each other and saying, where were you on Wednesday night? Why are you not coming to prayer meeting? Why are you not outside on a Sunday before the meeting praying with us? Because maybe we're not loving each other and correcting each other. Maybe we're saying it's okay, you run around with your idols, instead of saying no, get rid of those idols. Get rid of these things that are keeping you from the presence of God. And come into the midst of his people where the presence of God is and get encouraged and get strengthened and get reaffirmed because you have the word in you, but maybe you're missing the gathering of the saints and you're missing out on fellowship. You see, in Acts 2, verse 42, what did they do? They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, to breaking of bread, and fellowship. You see, God has brought a very important part into our lives to keep us on track that they didn't have, that we have. It's called fellowship. It's called accountability. It's called leaders. It's called gifting. And I think it's time that if you're okay with it, we start speaking into your lives with authority and with power and start correcting and saying, where are the idols in your lives? And you hold us accountable as much as we hold you accountable. Because do you want to get to that place of excellence? Do you want to walk in that place where God is walking in power, where you're having victory, where the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, or are we going to leave each other as we are? Because when we're not talking into each other's lives, we're not doing the work of God. So I'm going to close with saying, this family, let's love each other. Let's hold each other accountable. And when we speak into each other's lives, let's not pick up offense. We're doing it because we love each other. Because we're saying there's idols and there's maybe worship and maybe you're running after other gods that you're not seeing. Solomon didn't see it. He had everything. He had even more than we had. God blessed him, anointed him, gave him wisdom above measure that anyone ever had or anyone ever will have, yet he fell. See, God's given us each other. We're going to be accountable to each other. We're going to speak to each other. How are you? No, I'm fine. No, how are you? How's your spiritual walk? How's your relationship between husband and wife? How are you governing your children? How's your house home? How's your reading? How's your attendance? How are you? I think this is the new season. You see, God's been preparing us, but there's a season of gathering, of coming together. We family, and this is what families do. They protect each other, they hold each other together, and they hold each other accountable. And I'm going to close with 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 to 5, and then 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 to 8, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. I'm just going to cover us with scripture and ask God to lead us and guide us into this season that he's bringing us, that when we speak into each other's lives, we're not going to take up offense, but we're going to allow correction. We're going to allow rebuking, but we're going to allow training in righteousness. And we're going to allow the doctrine to be instilled in us that God can remove those altars from our lives so that we can come to the altar of Jesus Christ and sacrifice there. So 1 Thessalonians says, 3, verse 1 to 5, therefore, when they could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. Sorry, this is Paul. He had just built the church in Thessalonians, and he had a heart for the people. So he sent Timothy. I'm sending Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. You see, Paul knew, can't leave you alone. I can't just preach the word to you and then go. You need to be established. And somebody has to do it. And we do it to each other. We build each other. We encourage each other. We establish each other and encourage each other concerning your faith. It's great to hear how you're doing and how you can brine the nice poikies you have. That's all great. I love that. But how's your faith? That no one should be shaken by these afflictions. Who of us are shaken by afflictions? Well, let's build each other up. Let's encourage each other. Let's feed each other. Let's cover each other so that we're not shaken by afflictions, because we're all going to have afflictions. Paul says, for you yourselves know that we're appointed for this. We're appointed to have afflictions, trials, and tribulations to perfect us, to perfect our character, to let go of those things that are not of God. For in fact, we told you before then that when you were with us that you would suffer tribulation. We're all going to suffer tribulation. But let's encourage ourselves through it. So we're not going to say, why am I suffering? You're going to suffer in Jesus Christ. We're going to go through tribulation, but we're here to strengthen and encourage and get each other through it. For this reason, I could no longer endure it, so I sent Timothy to know your faith. How is your faith? In future, when we greet each other, let's say, how is your faith? How's your faith? So that by any means the tempter has not tempted you and our labor might be in vain. You see, we don't want to come here and labor over the people and you over us, and it's all in vain. So when we as a family ask each other, what's happening? Why are you doing this? Correct this. It's so that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8, it says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort, strongly encourage and incite you in the Lord that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk to please God. What do? We help each other walk to please God. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. We know it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You see, we don't want you just to know the word, and it's not good enough just to know the Lord. It's you need to be separating yourself unto sanctification. And we do that, each other, in our lives. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. So any sexual immorality, anyone you're not married, sleeping with his girlfriend, we're going to address it. Don't you think? So what it says we should be doing, not just how you're doing, oh, that's nice. No, it's wrong. Get rid of it. That each of you should know how to possess your own vessel and sanctify it in honor. Let's help each other to do that. Not in the passions of the lust of the Gentiles who do not know God. We know God. So flee these things that are not of God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. We don't want any of us to be defrauded by the enemy. Because the Lord is the avenger of all, as we also forewarned you and testified. So we're warning you of these things. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. What do we strive for? Holiness. No uncleanliness amongst us anymore. Let's stamp it out. Let's get rid of it. Let's help each other through it. Okay. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. We help each other through it. Therefore, if we bring it and you reject it, you do not reject man, but God. So if we correct each other, and it's not only the leaders and elders that do it, we correct each other. If you reject that correction, you're not rejecting that person, you're rejecting God. Don't reject God. Don't turn from him. That's why we're here, to run to him, as he's given us the Holy Spirit. And the last scripture, and then I'm finished. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 to 24. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize. And then recognize, if you go into the original Greek, it says to be accountable to and to honor. Those who labor among you. We're laboring amongst each other. That's why we come here. That's why we serve. That's why we set out. That's why we prepare. That's why we have meetings. That's why we've got men's things going. We're preparing. We're urging. We're getting each other together so we can hold each other accountable. So why? So that we can build each other up. You see, Jesus hasn't come here. He says, we are the body. We do the work of Jesus in each other. So I urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you, who have been set over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Admonish means reprimand, rebuke, scold, lecture, take to task, advise, caution, ward, warn, counsel, and encourage. That's what we do in each other's lives, don't we? Yet we take up so much offense. We will stop that. Let's speak with love and with gentleness, but to build up. But let's reprimand. Let's correct. Let's bring each other on the course. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. More than being correct, let's be at peace. Let's be in agreement, because that's what the Lord wants. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Anyone unruly here? Let's exhort you. Let's sort it out. Let's get rid of it. Because we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We're called of God. We do things in excellence. We're the All Blacks. They do things with excellence, on the field and off the field. Comfort the faint-hearted, those that are lazy, those that are slack. Let's comfort them then, but bring them back into place. Came out in the prayer meeting. Where are the people? Why do people miss this? Why do they do that? Well, we need to encourage them. We need to exhort them because they're lazy and they're slack. They're faint-hearted. Let's put courage and boldness back into them. Let's get purpose back into them. Let's speak life into them. Uphold the weak, those who don't have strength. Let's put strength back in them. Anyone weak here? Let's put strength back into you. But be patient with all. Let's be patient with each other. Let's do this, but we love through patience, through corrections. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. I'm going to leave you guys with that. When we go out here, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're doing a new thing. I thank you that you are bringing in a new season. I thank you that you wouldn't have brought us this message and prepared for us and confirmed it through the things that have been happening this morning and through the week and last week if this body wasn't ready for it. Father, every single person here in this place, you are calling us to holiness and to righteousness. You want us to consecrate ourselves so that you can sanctify us, so that we can do your work, so that we can be the light to this world, so that we can go out and be a people who make a difference, so that we don't only know the word and hear the word, but we do it. And may we be a people that love each other. You see, love holds each other accountable. Love makes sure that there is no sin within each other. Love makes sure that we are doing things that are godly and orderly because we love each other. May we be a group of leaders. We've prophesied over us that we will go out of this place. We will take what you've done, this season that you're doing in us, that we will all be in a place to go and to behold others accountable, that we can go into places of leadership so that we can raise up the body of God to a new level of excellence. Father, I pray that your grace may be amongst us, that we can do this, that we can receive it, that we can break down the altars that are not of you, that we can let go of our gods that we've built up in our lives and the altars that we've sacrificed at, that we can only have you, that we can serve you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Lord, may you do it in Jesus' name. Amen.